World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, well, try like you might. You're not going to drag me into a show totally and completely about this Las Vegas thing. I'm sorry. You ain't going to drag me into it. I'll talk a little bit about it here at the top, but I will not play that game because all of it is nothing more than trying to turn us into follow the bouncing ball, take your eye off of the ball, become individual. What do they call it? Personal investigators, private investigators on our own, get buried in on YouTube, looking at this video and looking at that video. And did this guy do this? Did this guy do that? What about this connection? What about that connection? What about this? And meanwhile, all this other stuff's going on around us that has a far deeper meaning than that. This is just another one of those signposts. And I refuse to get absolutely, totally wrapped up in them. You turn on, you go to Facebook. Facebook is totally and completely Las Vegas. It's like there isn't anything else going on in the world. And Las Vegas is nothing more than a signpost. Somebody killed 59 people. We don't know who it is. We don't know. Was it one shooter? Was it two shooters? Was it four shooters? Was it 10 shooters? Was it today? Was it Antifa? Was it ISIS? Was it just some old guy who got drunk and lost? And no information, no truth. And for the life of me, I can't understand wherever in this world that we came. It goes back to John F. Kennedy, the day America died. When only those in power get to know the fact, we don't get to know any other. If I was a parent right now and my child had been blown up, killed out there, I'd like to know some facts about what's going on. We're 3 days into it. I don't know if it's one shooter or two shooters. And of course, they do some research and they find out this guy's girlfriend who's in the Philippines that he just wired $100,000 to. The FBI calls her and talks to her on the phone. She's not involved with it. And yet they keep after Donald Trump. They've hired 1,000 lawyers to try to find if there's any connection with Donald Trump and Russia, and they're still looking, and there aren't any. And one phone call, and this lady's cleared. But there's something really messed up, see? But we cannot swallow all this. We cannot get trapped in all of this. As we said yesterday with Russ, this is that, boys. It is upon us, man. It is upon us. This is that. And rather than me sitting back and spending hours and hours and hours trying to solve that crime, I am not going to get wrapped up in this. But I am going to tell you this. We're not. What's that, sweetheart?
Yeah, some of the audio. You're still going. I'm recording you. So.
Okay, brother, thanks. So are they hearing me here? Are people in the queue hearing me, Jerry?
Yes.
Anyway, folks, I'm going to keep rolling here. Evidently, there's no audio going out. My wife just told me. I'm not going to spend my life trying to be an internet sleuth. I ain't going to do it. Sorry, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you this. Listen really, really close. Listen really close. They're lying to you. They're lying to you, okay? They're lying. Maybe not all of it. They can give you a little bit of truth here and there, but they're lying to you. And I get frustrated because I would assume, I don't know this, but I'd feel a lot better if the Las Vegas Police Department was handling this investigation. But I'm sure the feds are in there now. The FBI's in there. The AFT, they're all in there. And so now all the truth goes down that memory hole, goes way down in that ditch. And we'll never be able to get the truth out of it. So we have to be smart enough to pull back and say, wait a minute. Oh, this is that. And they're doing everything they can do. They're doing everything they can to try to, hey fellas, they're doing everything they can to try to stage a race war in America. And I have said for quite a while that the pushback, you can go back and find the tape. Rush would say, find the tape. I've been saying for 5 years that the pushback's coming from the NASCAR crowd. That's where the pushback is coming. They've tried everything they can do. They've tried to get the inner cities on fire, and the inner cities, one side fights and the other side doesn't fight. And out here in the hinterland, out here in what Hillary called, what was it, were we the deplorables? Is that who we were? When they come out and they start coming in into the deplorables territory, there's going to be a pushback, and then there's going to be a righteous pushback. I'm going to show you a tape here, man. I'm going to show you why I know it's not a righteous pushback. And they're trying to do the old divide and conquer. And now the divide and conquer has moved into the heart, man. Now, wait a minute. I don't care if it's just this guy. I don't care if it's just Stephen Paddock. If he acted alone, I don't care. There's a plan. There is a plan to divide the heartland. I'm that guy. I wish you knew how much I know that. The plan to divide the heartland. And they've already done a remarkable job of dividing the body of Christ. They've already done that. My goodness. I saw that when we went down in Texas. Church can't even get together and help each other out in the midst of a storm. Pastors don't even know each other. Do you understand that? They don't. Or if they do know each other, there's a hierarchy. I mean, you running and you know, 500. Oh, yeah, we're running 3 buses and you know, 2 services. Oh, yeah, 4 services. Oh, yeah, yeah. This isn't Christianity. This isn't Christianity. And if it was really Christianity, we would be demanding more truth from those around us. I wrote a commentary last week, didn't get much play, and I thought it was a fabulous one. Everything's lies and we believe it. We can't wait to suck in those lies. Just can't wait. Lie, 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 lie. But there's something going on because I got an email from, I'm sorry, text message from our buddy Rob Pugh this morning. I got someone to try to go with me. Rob Pugh's been having time out. Will you build a downline? I'm talking to you. Will you build a downline for heaven's sake? Will you find 5 or 6 or 7 people in your realm of influence who understand or at least are open? When are you going to start doing that, friends? Rob Pugh texted me last night. I was in bed asleep. I go to bed early. Rob Pugh, he's up there in Wisconsin, way up in Wisconsin. He opened up a ministry center over there. And you know what? I wish Rob could get on. I try to get a hold of him this morning, get on, let him tell a story. You may think I'm lost. I'm shooting my cannon in 1,000 different directions. There's more than one shooter. Hang on. I'm going somewhere. I got a target, mine. Rob Pugh started this event. Matt, I don't know if you're out there listening. Matt Tice, you're out there listening or not. Maybe my eyes are opening up. Rob Pugh opened up this ministry center up in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Salt and Light Brigade. He started out on, what was last night? Tuesday night. Started out on Tuesday nights getting men together in his ministry center, building a downline. And 5 men, 6 men, 7 men were coming, blah, 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 blah. And Rob emailed me last night after his meeting was over. He had 25 men showed up last night, men and women. Went from 7 to 25. He said people are beginning to waken up. Word is spreading. The guys go to this little get-together that Rob has. You know what they do at the little get-together? I wish Rob was here because he could tell you, but it's simple. He plays a segment from the show. What do you think of this, man? What do you think of this? Kevin Bushy's doing the exact same thing. You with us today, Sarge? I don't know if he's in here or not. Sarge is doing the same thing up in Maine. He's getting guys together, playing a segment of the show. So what do you think about it? The conversation starts, and these guys begin to share information. All of a sudden, man, you know, maybe Bushy isn't as crazy as he thought he is. Maybe Pugh isn't as crazy as he thought he is. Instead of men hiding, keeping up away from each other, men are beginning to assemble themselves together. What's with you and your downline? You got any downline going on? You know, JR, I was thinking about you. Maybe you ought to go take over that Westerville. Maybe you ought to take over that Westerville Tea Party and then Christianize that thing and really wake up men and get their eyes out of the hell out of the Republican Party and Democrat Party, show them exactly what's going on and go in there and show 5-minute clips of what I've said. I hate to listen. You don't have to be worshiping me and following me. I ain't looking for followers. If I'm telling you, I'm telling you some truth. It's truth that people are going to grab a hold of, and their eyes are going to be opened. Why aren't you in your house inviting four buddies over, or going someplace and taking a computer and saying, let's watch this together. Let's look at this together. And five of you sit there and look at it, and four of them don't come back, but one does. And then you got another one comes back. Next thing you know, you got five or six or seven guys who understand what's going on. You're not alone anymore. Rob Pugh did that. 25 people. Rob did more than that, though. Hey, Jared, can we pull that up on his website? We're going up to Rob Pugh's place. Listen, folks. I hate to even talk this way because I just hate it. I'll come to your town. This ain't about hero worship. But you get an event together, you get 10 people, I'll come to your town. And I'll try to help raise up a group, and I'll come. See, Coach, I'm not sure that we can get more than five or six people. Well, we'll take a chance, won't we? We'll start with five and six. You got to start somewhere. And we're sitting there. We've been doing this show in January. It's going to be 2 years, every morning for 2 years. And some of you ain't got even the starting of a downline. No start of a downline. Now, we heard from Tim Adams the other day. Man, he's got a downline. He's building a downline. But how many of you in the queue here? You got you a downline yet? What's going on? Why don't we have a downline? It's the way I say, Coach, we're waiting on you to do it. Well, I'm not in Texas. I'm not in Wisconsin. I'm not in Alabama. I'm here in Ohio. I'll come there. But we're not building a downline. We have to start, fellas. We have to start. We have to start. So, Jared, do you have that up on the screen from Rob Pugh? I'm sorry.
Which?
About his event up there on the 20. Boy, I get the dates wrong. I don't have a calendar. I need a calendar in front of me. Go to Wisconsin Christian News. Maybe. Rob, if you got up this morning. No, that's one. Keep it right there, though. Keep that one there. Look at this. Saturday, October 21st, Gary Pierce and John Hartzler get in the game, calling Christians to wake up and engage the culture. There's my picture, Saturday, October 21st, 10 a.m. till noon at the Camp Luce the Chapel, 152 Kidman Road, Orville, Ohio. Gary's trying to raise up a group. Gary's trying to raise up a group. Are you? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to do anything at all? I'm telling you, I'll come. You don't have to pay me anything. I'll come. I'll help you build a group. We'll do the best that we can. Do you have a downline at all? Gary's not in there either because he watches the show with his wife in the morning when they get up on tape delay. They're running ads in the paper. They're leafing churches. They're looking for men. They're on a manhunt. That's October 21st, right here in Ohio. Now, with the Wisconsin Christian News, Jared always finds all kinds of good stuff for us. Give Jared a second, and he'll pull it up there. It's on the screen right now. Wisconsin Christian News. There it is. There it is. Click on that, Jared. Pass the Salt Boot Camp. March. Oh, that's the wrong date. We're going to be in Wisconsin October 27. That's in Marshfield. And then we're going to go from Marshfield. I don't know. We don't have that flyer. I looked for that thing this morning. Where just that flyer that Rob put together. Then we're going to go to Milwaukee on Friday and Saturday and hold a boot camp. We have a boot camp that tries to raise up and train up men. And why would some of you guys come? Why won't you come? Monday morning quarterbacks. And so we do try to have events and try to get people together. I'm sounding frustrated. Some of you are going to have to travel. I'm sorry. We're going to make this as convenient as we can. But some of you are going to have to travel. Some of you are going to have to get in your car, and you're going to have to drive 8 hours to Wisconsin to help reinforce what Rob is trying to do. Nobody ever said this was going to be easy. We are swimming upstream. We are swimming against the flow. Rob, I know somewhere, if you get up in the morning, I know somewhere right there on your page is the event. It's the 27th, 28th, and 29th, I think. And we're going to be in Wisconsin. There it is. Yay, Jared. Found it. Don't miss this, it says. Chad Estes is having a brigade meeting down in Texas, October 20th and 22nd. He's doing what he can to build a team to put them together. Look at here. Look what Rob's got going on. First Thursday of every month. Friday nights. Do not miss this. October 26th in Marshfield, Wisconsin. There's Coach Dave, Greg Evenson, and Randy Stonehill. And then don't miss it the next day, 27th to 29th. We're down in Milwaukee. And there's Coach Dave and Greg Evenson and Matt Truella and Pastor Terry Fisher, Pete LaBarbera. Still haven't got back to Pete. I expected Pete to be there. Come on, man. Come on. Why can't you organize one of these? Why can't you do this right where you live? I'll come. You say, Coach, I don't even know what I would say to him. I don't even know. Well, I'll come and say it. And we'll help you organize a group. Guys get together. They have euchre clubs. They have cigar smoking clubs. They have fishing clubs. They have hunting clubs. What the? Come on, man. We are in dire, dire straits. And that dude, whether he did it or not, he sat up in that, whoever, somebody sat up in that hotel and shot down and killed people who belong, who were children of people. And we just roll over and say, well, gee, another one. Boy, probably going to happen here. F.O. probably going to happen at the Ohio State football game here one of them days. Really? We look out at the debauchery going on. Are you kidding me? And Christian men will not arise and do anything about it. I listened to Pastor Manning yesterday. I haven't listened to him in a while. I've got to get him back on the show. You know, he said yesterday, I love truth. Pastor Manning said, hey, we can deny this all we want to, but God killed those people. God killed them. He let those people happen. God killed them. And he said, you go back to the Old Testament, and you go through that Old Testament all you want to, and you know what you're going to find out? God ordering people to kill people. He said, God orders people to be killed. And we've reached a point here in America where there are a lot of people going to be killed. There are a lot of people going to be killed. Why? Because it's the judgment of God coming on America. The judgment of God. And if you think that you as a Christian are exempt, you think there are any Christians ever killed there in that thing in Las Vegas? You think you're exempt because you happen to be a Christian? You think you're exempt because you happen to live somewhere out in the country? You really think you're exempt from that? No, no. And so he says, number one, you better get yourself saved. And you better get those around you that you love saved, because God's going to be killing a lot of people. Now, we don't like that theology, do we? Huh? We don't like that theology. But this sure seems pretty good to me. I'm going to shut up a minute. Somebody jump in there. I got someplace I'm going. I'm checking a message I just got. Come on. Come on in. The water's fine. Are they not hearing me, Jared? Or are they too silent today?
They can hear you.
I can't hear them. Come on in.
I hear you, Kurt. I think the shock of the realization that God killed those people is still sinking in. And, you know, your brain is, no, God didn't do that. He allowed it to happen. I mean, you know, you hear this nonsense about God's perfect will and God's permissive will and everything. Show me one place in the Bible where it talks about God's permissive will. Show me one place in there where it says God's permissive will, and I'll start believing in the rapture.
Hey, Larry. He wiped out a whole bunch of people in that Old Testament. He wiped out a whole bunch of people in that New Testament, man. I'm telling you. That's what Pastor Manning was saying. If you guys think God doesn't kill people, oh, that'll be a right wing. That'll be front page right wing.
Because the circumstances, the flow of things on how people get killed and how they die don't fit each individual's little picture of what a perfect God-led world would be. But see, God's a whole lot smarter than all of us put together, much less any one of us as individuals.
Larry,
so
I can't
sit back and bring judgment on God because of the way he does things.
I can't imagine how
I
feel
today. Watch out, buddy. Your eternal future is pretty warm.
It's hanging in the balance. And I can't imagine how I would feel today if it had been one of my sons and my daughters who were on vacation and in Las Vegas got mowed down. I can't even imagine. Church going, God fearing man, say, Lord, how can you let that happen? Well, he's warned us, man. He's warned us. Now I'm going to show you something here that is, boy, is this bone chilling, huh? Jared, build your daggone downline, will you? Huh? Who's going to lead? If it isn't you guys, who's going to lead? You waiting for somebody else to do it? Well, good luck with that one. Ain't nobody else going to do it. Yeah, they're going to laugh at you, and they're going to ridicule you, and they're going to, even your family's going to make fun of you. But you might be saving somebody's life. You might be restoring. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Robert said they were rapture ready. Hey, Jared, I want you to pull this. Oh, hey, guys, this is something. You want to see this? Watch this. Hey, Jared, pull it up. Street preacher. Hey, guys, we're not going to watch all this. I just want you to watch a couple minutes of this. I came across this online. This is a guy street preaching to those people going into the concert hours before they die. That's just, they're making fun of him and they're ridiculing him. And I wonder as I watch this thing, how many of them walking by there were getting their last opportunity from the Lord to repent, to fall on their face. Is that their attitude? Is that, remember, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? You go down through there, they probably all say, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. Yeah, yeah. And this brother's just giving them the truth. Let's just let this settle into you here for a couple minutes. Just think, do you think he knew? People walking by him at this moment, as he's doing this, are soon going to be dead. They're soon going to be dead. Now, he didn't know that. But that's the truth of it. Go ahead, Jared.
Rebuke you directly. The reason that you're upset is because some of you still have a conscience. You know when you sin, your conscience bears witness against
you. Watch how they hate
the
gospel.
The way you are living is wrong, is bad. The way you're, when you indulge in alcohol, when you look at girls, when you lie.
I can't hear anything. You love
Satan? It's garbled, Jared. Can you fix it?
Yeah, one second.
And I serve the living God. And look what Satan's done to you.
Hey, Jared may have, that Jared has left.
Serve the devil who has come to steal, kill, and destroy you.
Jared, can you start it again now? Okay.
God, Jesus Christ, who's sorry about that. Life and life more abundantly.
Jared's going to reset it for so you can hear it. Because I just want you to hear this, brother. He is just giving them the gospel. And I want you to watch the hatred of what I would call the NASCAR crowd, what Hillary would call the deplorables. I want you to watch how much they either hate God or think they're already in good relationship with him. I think Jared's got it fixed now. Let's start that again, Jared.
To rebuke you, direct you. The reason that you're upset is because some of you still have a conscience. You know when you sin, your conscience bears witness against you that the way you are living is wrong, is bad. The way you're living, when you indulge in alcohol, when you look at girls, when you lie, what? You love Satan? Did you know he's a fallen angel? Did you know
I love Satan, he says.
And I serve the living God. And look what Satan's done to you. Are you not concerned what he's done to you? Serve the devil who has come to steal, kill, and destroy you. And I serve the living God, Jesus Christ, who has given me life and life more abundantly. You are living a selfish, self-centered lifestyle to gratify your flesh, to indulge in the flesh, indulging in your appetites, indulging in your nature to try to satisfy this longing within you because you're bored, you're lonely, you're insecure. The life that you live is empty, empty. You have no hope, you have no future, you have no destiny. And the way you live is of the devil. The way you dress is of the devil. If you drink, you lie, you do things that are ungodly, unholy. And what do? You suppress the pain. You suppress the world, the emptiness of this life. Now, what is life? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, huh? And then you die and you burn in hell.
There's a weapon.
You're
sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Oh, when you're all together, you all shout and scream. Oh, I know when you're all alone, you have no rest. You have no peace, no loneliness. Yes, I do. The Bible reveals the nature of man. The Bible reveals that the wicked have no peace. The wicked are never satisfied. They're never fulfilled. They never have joy. They never have hope. You don't have anything. You have nothing in your life. You're overweight. You have nothing in your life, man. Yeah, you do that which is wicked in the sight of God, and God is willing to forgive you. God is willing to cleanse you. God is willing to set you free, but you continue to live in rebellion. And now you're going to reap the consequences of your sin, your rebellion, your anarchy. Oh, you need to humble yourself. Humble yourself. Don't be so prideful. Don't mock God. Don't laugh at God. Don't ridicule God. God has ears. He hears. The eyes of the Lord are watching. God's in full control. You have no rights. God is the one. Submit to Him. Obey Him. You're what? Right.
How many of those people walking by are dead or injured right now?
I wonder what that guy has to say today.
Hey, that guy yelling, shut up. It sounds like he's in more agony.
Jesus drinks. Jesus drinks all the time.
No, he did not. Yes, he did. I saw it. He loves wine.
I'm not an alcoholic.
Are you
calling
an
alcoholic?
No,
you
have
an
alcoholic.
Jared,
you can stop that. Why is this guy alone? That's the first thing I thought when I watched it. Why is this guy alone? You know, I watched a lot of those videos of those people when that firing shot. When that shooting started, folks, this is NASCAR crowd. This is God-fearing Americans, love the flag, right? Football. What was that? Chevrolet, apple pie. He says, this is Americana. Mocking God.
Because they're still in rebellion to God and they still hate God.
They hate God. They're mocking God. This guy's here telling them, you're just mocking God. You can't do that. You're living in debauchery. Right? And in an hour and a half, some of these people are going to be dead. They're going to be dead. See, this is the form of God. It's the form of godliness that we're talking about. They've created a God in their own mind. Now, hang on. How many people do you know like this? How many people do you know just like these people, just walking by? If we keep on playing it, I'm not sure, but I've done enough of this street preaching to know this. Soon, some little Christian is going to walk up and say, you're never going to win them to be talking like that. You have to show them the love of Jesus. And have you noticed he hadn't mentioned that not one time, how much Jesus loves them? Because they all already know it, how much Jesus loves them. And I was amazed when I watched many of the videos. That, by the way, that's why they're not going to be able to lie to us. There's too many cell phones out there. But I was amazed that when the shooting started, how much the profanity increased. When those guns would have been fired at me, I'd have been prostrate. I'd have been crying out to the Lord, Lord, protect me. These folks were MFing, and I mean, it is amazing. It's just amazing. The caution of society in which we live. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Coach, though, if one was to admit that God did this, then one would have to consider repenting. And they don't want to do that. Most people don't want to do that. They would rather.
Are they hearing it in their churches?
Yep.
Are they hearing it in their churches, George? Are they going to a church where where the pastor says, hey, listen, keep yourself unspotted from the world, quit drinking, using drugs, and going to a country music rock concert and idolizing those guys and then hoping that you can hop in bed with some chick afterwards? Stop living that kind of lifestyle. Is that the message that's coming out of our pulpit, brother? God, well, the answer to that is certainly not. It's certainly not. The message coming out of our pulpit is God loves you. See, right now, pastors would be telling this guy how much God loves him. Oh, God loves you, brother. God loves you. Really? Does he really? Pastor Manny told us God just killed a whole bunch of folk down there. He's going to kill a whole bunch more. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Boy, Right Wing Watch will love this one today. Jump in here, because I'm gonna bring a scripture up here in a minute. Go ahead and jump in, anybody.
Hey, Brother Coach, do you remember back in 2001 on September 9th, Flip Benham, Bill Shanks, and 17 other pastors were praying at the state capitol, praying because they were trying to pass that law, that hate crime bill. That's when it was first introduced. And Flip Benham, when they got approached by the Secret Service three times and they told him to stop praying, And they looked at them and said, we're not going to stop interceding. Third and final, they were all arrested. And Flip Benham stood on the back of that paddy wagon with his finger raised towards the Capitol. And he said, America, this is your third and final warning. That was September 9th, 2001. 19 men with box cutters brought down America, and it was 19 pastors that were arrested that day. Uh-huh. Connect the dots.
There you are, buddy. And folks, you think fear is not a weapon? You think that whoever's behind this terror, you think they're not trying to drive terror into the hearts of men? You think that's not going on? Hang on a second. So what about your downline? Do you have a group of men around you? Do you have any? Are you isolated? You all alone? Your family rejecting you? Hey, buddy, you got to get to work. You got to get to work. You got to find some like-minded folks. Was that you, Larry? Jump in here.
Whoever. Yeah, it was. Now, I know in my spirit that I'm doing what the Spirit told me to do right now. For those who are still trying to absolve God from killing those people, for those who are still saying, no, God wouldn't do that, that's not the God I serve. Well, then you better check out which God you are serving, because I want you to ask yourself two questions. Question number one, is God powerful enough? Is he omniscient enough in the sense of the universe to have stopped what happened last night? Of course he is. Second question, did he stop it?
See, Larry, and that's the argument that the atheists use. They say either God is either all good or he's not all powerful. He can't, if God is all good, then he's not all powerful. Or if he's all powerful, then he's not all good. Because a good God would never have allowed an innocent person to be slaughtered like that. Except, see, there we're wrong again. Ain't none of them innocent. None of them are innocent. Folks, none of them are innocent. Some of them are saved, but none of them are innocent. And so we have this mindset that there are good people and bad people, and the Bible teaches us there's none righteous. No, not one. There ain't no such thing as somebody dying a good person. You understand? That's part of the lie. We all deserve death. And those of us who've received Christ, thank God, we also have, we've been rescued from death, and that we will not die when we leave this physical world, but we will die from this physical world. We will perish. We will die. But those of us who've received Christ, death has no power over us, because we will live beyond the grave. And the message that's going forth is that God so loves us wicked individual people that he won't want any of us to die. Doesn't want any of us to die. Well, you're not reading the Bible. You're just not reading the Bible.
And also read Fox's Book of Martyrs. I mean, the bodies of the martyrs, the disciples themselves, the apostles, brother. I'd never seen that video yet, but I will be downloading and showing a segment of that at church on Sunday, because that's the type of pastor I am. Because I just preached a sermon on, you know, building your storehouses and what fool that God is going to require of your soul tonight. Now, I told Pastor Steve, because when we're down in Texas, you know, they were going down there at late, and brother, this is just me. I said, you know what? We're children of the day. We're going to go down there and feed between 4 and 8 o'clock. I said, listen, I understand people want to go down there and preach late at night. I said, but I'm a child of the day, and this is what I do. I work during the day. I minister to those during the daytime. But you know what? That was a powerful, powerful video, because some of them people, my question is, I wonder what that guy who got up there hackling, what is he thinking right now? I pray that touched his heart, that he might have an opportunity to repent.
Well, see, they get the wrong message. They think the fact that they didn't get killed is the blessing of God. They get the entire wrong message.
Well, that's a mercy of God that they didn't get killed.
That's the mercy of God. Or it could just happen to be they went to a different place than where the other people went that got shot. I mean, right? See, we send the wrong message. Oh, thank you, Lord, that saved me. Oh, thank you, Lord, you protected me. Well, maybe he did. Maybe he did. But what are you going to say to that other girl that got her head blown off that loved Jesus? She wasn't protected?
Yep.
No, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And this life is just a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. And the whole idea of living now is to live later. That's the whole idea of living now, is to live later. Yep. Not your best life now.
Yeah.
And how many of them, off into eternity? Oh, he's in a better place. Are they? They're in a better place? Really? I'm in Hebrews 10, Jared, if you can get there. Somebody else want to weigh on in here? I'm sorry, this is heavy on me today. It's heavy on me.
Coach?
Yeah.
Coach, the word clearly tells us that God disciplines those he loves.
Right.
When's the last time we heard that message? But you know what? It's just like my dad disciplined me with the belt when I needed it. But had I not responded to the belt and I kept being rebellious, at some point, even out of love, he would have had to turn me over to a depraved mind because it would have been me that did it. And see, people as a whole don't want to face that fact and that music today. As a whole, we've turned from God. We don't repent. We don't get on our knees and ask God to be merciful to us.
Dave?
Yeah, that's two chapters over, George. Hebrews chapter 12. I do share that quite often. That's a good passage of scripture.
Hang on a second, Roger. Hang on a second, Roger. I want you to know this. Just a second, Roger. I want you guys to know this. You better hear me. Most people in your church aren't saved. Listen to me. Most people in your church are not saved. They're attached to some other Jesus. They're attached to some other Jesus who blesses them and does all this stuff. Most of them are not saved. How do I know they're not saved? Because there's absolutely no fruit in their lives. The scripture says you shall know them by their fruit. And most of the fruit that they have in your church is personal fruit. Blessings, personal blessings. Heaping up for themselves. Stuff. They think that's blessing. Most people are not saved. Go ahead, Raj.
People are not reading the Bible. That's the bottom line. The vast majority of people on Sunday are in front of a pastor for an hour and a half, and that's it. They are not reading their Bible. You wouldn't have this much disobedience if believers filled with the Holy Spirit were reading their Bible.
Well, Roger, Chad Estes just texted me, and this is pretty profound, Chad. He said, we resist correction. Is that ever it? You try to offer somebody some correction and you see how they respond. So you can imagine going into the church and try to offer a little bit of correction in the church. Woo-wee. That ain't going to be a very happy Sunday afternoon dinner. I can tell you that. So pastors just aren't going to go there because they want to teach. And as a result, all of their kids and all of the children of the people in the pew are at that rock concert country music concert. Hey, I like country music. But we know that country music is debaucherous. All my rowdy friends have settled down and I've been moving low places. I mean, come on, man. It ain't righteous. And those of us who love the Lord look at it and we seem judgmental if we point that out. No, ain't a righteous concert. It's all about broads and beer and booze and drugs and hot trucks. The form of godliness. We deny the power thereof. I'm in Hebrews, chapter 10. I don't spend enough time in Hebrews, nor do you, nor do any of us. Looking at the clock, I got some time. Is Joe with us today? You out there, Silverman? You with us? No, his big moment, he's not in there. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. Wow. The law's a shadow of good things. And not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If it could have been made perfect, would they have to keep having the offering? Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. When they would go to the Passover and they'd sacrifice, that reminded them of their sinful condition. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And above, when he said sacrifice and a burnt offering, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I'm come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his, look at this, how long is he sitting down there, boys? Till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, somebody help me out here. Who's making his enemies his footstool? We just pray that that happens? For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you sanctified today? If you are, then you're perfected forever. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now, is the law in the hearts of those that we just saw walk into that concert? That's the covenant, he said. I'm going to put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. If that law has been put into their heart. Now, where remission of there is, that there is no more offering for sin. Once you've received grace, there's no more sin offering. Hang on, I'm going to someplace. Stay with me. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of... We have no confidence in Christ. We have no confidence in God that he could restore this wicked land. We want to believe that prophecy tells us it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So therefore, we ain't even trying to redeem the world. We're not even trying. Our churches aren't even trying. Our churches are trying to bless the redeemed. They're not trying to redeem the world. 20, by a new and living way, I'm going to go back to 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He's shown us a new way. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from all evil conscience. Were those people, has their conscience sprinkled? Has their hearts been sprinkled from an evil conscience? And our bodies washed with pure water? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's it. That's my job. I'm a provocateur. What do? I provoke unto love and to good works. Look, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. I'm going to stop there.
Coach, verse 24. Yep. And yep. Let us consider one another, the group, those of, and then 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. If you're mm-hmm. assembled with a bunch of people that don't even truly know Jesus,
amen,
and are living this pretend life for their own benefit, you're not assembling. And I loved your thing you taught on assembling earlier. Assembling is not sitting beside somebody. It's putting together something that's going to do something.
It's what we're trying to do here. It's what we're trying to do here. It's what Rob Pugh is doing in Wisconsin. It's what Chad Estes is doing in Texas. It's what Sarge is doing in Maine. It's what Gary Pierce is doing in Dalton, Ohio. Assembling together, bringing together a body of believers, not into some phony church, not to play church on Sunday, not to sing praise and worship songs and take up an offering and hear a good sermon and go home. That is not what he's talking about. He's talking about putting, hey guys, the other side is assembling together even more as they see the day approaching. They're smart enough to see what's going on, and they're assembling. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us to see. Help us to see and understand. And understand that death is not the final judgment. Death's not the final judgment, boys. In fact, the scripture says death has no power over us anymore. We've been set free from the fear of death. Men who've been chained down and burdened by that their whole lives received Christ. What happened? They've been set free from the fear of death. Oh, my goodness. What are we so afraid of? And why won't we stand up? Why won't we begin? Okay, hang on. I've been lecturing. How can I help? How can I help you? What can we put into your hand that can help you assemble together? We're assembling together. But boys, there are other parts out there. There are a lot more parts. There's a great, great remnant out there. And you run into some of them every day. Or you pass by them every day, but you don't know they're the remnant because you ain't doing anything to show your hands. You don't want to show your cards. You're keeping your cards close to the vest. What can we do to help you? Rob Pugh weekly plays one of these shows. Glenn Claremont daily sends out a copy of this show to a whole downline. And ask yourself where you sit today after almost 18, 19 months of doing this every morning. Have you drug anybody else in? We're still stuck at 23, 20. We're still stuck at 20. I know it's more than 20. You get my point. You gotta be young in the apples. How can I help you? Come on, speak up. Dave. Sorry, boy. Didn't mean to spank y'all here. I'm just feeling it. Dave. Yeah, Roger. Yeah.
Keep reading on 10 to 29, because I think that shares a lot with the NASCAR crowd. It says, who has insulted the spirit of grace. This, wow. This idea that I can keep bedding down who I want, drinking with who I want, it's all under grace. That scripture clearly says those actions are insulting the foundation of grace.
And Roger, it says this, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belong to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord again. The Lord shall judge his people. Not everybody. And Roger, fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God.
Amen.
Wow.
I'm going back to bed.
Hey guys, we're not yet what we ought to be, but we're gonna get there. But some of us have to amp up our game. We have to amp up our game. There are people in your sphere of influence who are counting on you. It's not by chance that some of you have been turning in here for over a year, every morning for over a year. It's not by chance. The Holy Ghost is knocking on your heart to do something about it. And it could be just as simple. Just as simple. I was sergeant on here with. Anybody started a group, they're not on here. What, fellas, we cannot sit around and wait for these 6-foot icicles. These sissy boards.
Here.
We, good, Sarge. Hang on. We can't sit around and wait for these sissy boys to do something. They ain't going to do it. They're looking for the rapture. And while they're looking for the rapture, the children of the people in their pew are getting blown away in Las Vegas or on drugs, taking heroin, taking drugs. We have the answer to all of this stuff. And if they could do something about it, they would have already done it. Sarge, tell us, what's going on, man? How are you fishing, Sarge? Some of these guys need some fishing lessons.
Well, what we have discovered is, you know, a friend of a friend, you know, Brother Mike hooked me up with a guy that lived 20 miles from me that was already following the show. And he had a group of five or six guys that he had already been meeting up with. So I fell into a ready-made group, so which was sort of great. And, oh, my God, once we got together, the Lord started showing us what he expected us to start being involved with. And if you really want to get involved with some spiritual warfare, you've got problems right in your own local communities. You don't even know it until you start talking to brothers and God starts putting people in your path. He starts putting opportunity for you to hear from the guys who know how to fight the spiritual war, guys like Henry Groover, Dr. Michael Lake, Mark Taylor, the fireman. I mean, we are so connected, as I was telling you guys when we were at Branson, sitting all by myself. God put it in his path, in my path, that Henry Groover needed to sit next to me so that I could ask him a question. And I'm telling you what, it just blew me away.
So, Sarge, it's like this. Guys like to go to car shows. They like to go to gun shows. They like to show off their guns. You get a group of men together, and each guy gets to bring his gun. And you get together, and you listen to a little bit of Coach Dave, and then somebody asks a question in your discussion group afterwards, and you say, oh, yeah, well, have you heard anything about Russ Dizdar and those MK Ultras? And they say, no, what? What are you talking about? Oh, well, let me show. Do you understand how information gets spread? It isn't going to be spread through your church. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. If you are, if you're content sitting in your church, brother, you got something wrong with you. Something seriously wrong with you. I can't even hardly watch the Ohio State Buckeyes. I want to be down there coaching. Every time I watch it. Man, I'd like to be down on that sidelines. I don't want to just sit and watch it. There's a war raging outside. You guys running off to work and making money and piling up money, piling up money, piling up money, piling up money. Take some of that daggone money and do something with it. Call a meeting. Run some ads. Run some TV, radio ads. Get on Facebook. Come on, my place. Let's go. I can't do that for you because you have a realm of influence that I don't have. You said, well, Coach, I don't even know what I would do. Well, do what Sarge said. Get them together. Play 20 minutes of a video. Don't have to be me. Help them out here, Sarge. How do you do it?
Hey, Coach, I can tell you how I do it.
Do it, Jaron. How would you do it, Jaron?
Well, I just started with just one of my good friends from my life, and I said, hey, we're going to get together once a week and read the King James Bible together. He's like, okay. And so I drive an hour to his house once a week, and we read the Bible. We're reading Acts. We're just reading Acts. That's it. And then we read it for 20 minutes, and then we play some video games, and I go home. And that's all we do. And it's awesome. You end up not even wanting to do the other stuff, and you end up just wanting to read the Bible more, and you end up wanting to talk about real stuff. But, you know, the whole point is we say, we're going to get together, we're going to read the Bible. And if we don't do anything else, it's a win. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Hey, can I say this one too? Because I'm looking over here, I see Gail's in here, I see Jody's in here, I see Katie's in here, Mary Jane's in here, Porsche's in here, Sarah's in here. Hey, women, isn't it time that you move from your Bible studies where all you do is pray for one another's needs? Isn't it time that you got into your Bible study and you begin to open up the women's eyes to exactly what's going on in the world? Get off of the milk! Get off of the milk! Sometimes the spiritual head in the home is the woman. You have an opportunity to lead them to truth, to guide them to truth, and all you want to do is sit around and pray for each other's husbands. Not that that's not worthy. But you have a great opportunity as well. Amp it up, baby!
Coach?
The other side's amping it up! Amp it up!
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Yes, Sarah.
I've been called a Debbie Downer so many times and been unfriended for just that reason.
Congratulations. That guy standing out there in Las Vegas, he's a Debbie Downer too. He was called all kinds of names. You got to keep doing it, man, because listen, you're going to find one. You're going to find one. I just got a message right here that we need to pray for Michael Andrews. Lord, I just lift up Michael to you right now. Lord, our dear brother in Christ and Misty and his wonderful family, Lord Jesus. You just come against every demonic force, every demonic influence, anything that would try to divide them in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over his family, a hedge of protection, Lord. We pray for protection for his their health and for their finances and for just for continued strength and guidance, Lord. And whatever it is, Lord, whatever that division is that would be trying to destroy that family, we curse it. We plead the blood of Jesus over it in Jesus' name. Declare its power to be broken in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you, Michael, Misty, kids.
Coach, a teachable moment.
Yep.
Praying for Michael. Now, if we indeed were praying the way Jesus taught us to, every one of us on this queue and listening would have already prayed for Michael and his situation without even knowing what it was. Now, how much more efficient is it to do it God's way and having thousands, if not maybe tens of thousands of people around the world praying for every situation of every true brother and sister in Christ versus sitting around and waiting for a prompt to pray about one specific one? How much would be the more effective prayer?
Lord, your will be done in Michael's life, Lord.
There you go.
We know what your will is. Your will be done there, Lord.
And if you wake up with that prayer on your lips, your every waking moment starts with praying about every situation, about every true brother and sister in Christ, and don't have to wait for somebody to bring it to your attention that something could use some stirring around.
Well said, Larry. Well said, brother. Well said. Lord, I just pray that your will be done in their lives, Lord. Do what you have to do in their lives, Lord. We give you free reign that your will would be done, that your kingdom would come. In earth as it is in heaven. We ask that right now, Lord Jesus. All right. Couple minutes left. I hope some of you are mad at me. I hope some of you are. Quit waiting for somebody else to do it. You are a leader or you wouldn't be here. Did you hear what I just said to you? You are a leader or you wouldn't be here. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. Some of you have tried to turn it off and you can't. The Holy Spirit keeps tapping you on the shoulder and you keep coming back. Well, how long are you going to resist that? How long? You say, well, who am I? What can I do? Who will listen to me? Well, it says that you're going to be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them, and think not what you shall speak, but shall be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak, because it's not even you that's speaking, but it's your Father that speaks through you. How about opening your mouth and giving the Lord the chance to work through you? How about stop worrying about being rejected and stop telling yourself how little you can't do and stop telling how everybody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll eat a worm. Well, keep eating worms then. Folks, we are in absolute desperate times and we're playing tiddlywinks in church. We see men, we think, climbing up in towers, shooting people. As Pastor Manning said, God's killing some folks. He's killing some folks. Going on all around us. And we're connected here for some reason. And your heart's stirred here every morning for some reason. What do? You go lay on bed and put an ice pack on your head and try to get rid of it? Or are you going to begin with one little step? A Bible study with just you and your buddy. A Bible study with just you and your wife. A video of Coach Dave with you and the guy that you like to talk about the Buckeyes with. Just sit down and say, come on, man, just give me 20 minutes. Because those around us are counting and trusting on you. Time for us all to stand up and be counted. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.